Seven Penitential Psalms. 1. Pain's first casualty is proportion. So my brother, juror in a child pornography trial, browses my shelves while the Easter lamb roasts, and coming on Weston's nudes of his son, paired with a text describing how Neil at 8 is molded with reed-like flow of unbroken line, the exposures framed so the torso, pentelic marble, ends with arm buds and the stem of the penis, slams the book and storms out, shaken that I own such things. 2. The damaged man licking sauce from his spoon. Why do I feel stricken sitting in the same cafe, watching his unbridled relish in the mess? He's showing me a secret I don't want to see. The toughest shell conceals the tenderest meat. My friend rejects aids to help him hear because they transmit chat he's never learned to filter out. How do we bear any sense without muting its tone? The cuff of meat around the marrow bone. 3. The clergy who rejected Caravaggio's Death of the Virgin for showing the bare soles of Mary's feet could hardly conceive the Holy Mother straining like a ewe in labor with the Lamb of God. Yet Luke writes that the inn was full and the birth outdoors, a beast's entry. No bed for heaven's queen, but a nest of straw. The babe's head haloed, but if we take the incarnation at its word, breaching the labial tissue crowned in beads of blood. The first mystery is spirit housed in meat. And the miracle? That you love the brutal creature eating from your breast. 4. Nice day, she remarks the glacier sharp noon beyond the window. A nice day under glass. Backhoeing a new well, her sons unearthed a Venetian white heart, the beads for beaver currency once swapped here by the river, 6 glass nubs per finished pelt. Resembling a drop of arterial blood, it's crossed 3 centuries and countless palms to the snub of cotton in the vitrine by their TV. He lets me hold it, and the red seed plunges me into a vitreous humor, where we're all flecks floating in the eye of God. The drafts whistle through their windows glazing. Like glass, my faith's both brittle and liquid, ever shattered or shifting shape. 5. The devil, weeping for help, is plaintive. He calls us by name and it's unclear what we should do. I say should, because if there really is a devil gulping in fevered sobs under the bed, mustn't there be a God who shut him in our house? Are we to show pity for the pitiless, prove his nature to bite won't stifle our nature to comfort his wounds? Or is giving the whimpering little fiend a blanket and cup of milk a sin? Which hell do we want to burn in if we're wrong? 6. There was a horse farm, long white paddocks, beside the railroad. Can you see where this is going? Those horses were beautiful and wet clover, loose fence posts, hard to keep safe. The day 2 mares in a gelding stopped an express, no humans hurt, train delayed while the track was cleared, my brother slipped off to the scene. He craved blood, I think, because he'd reached the age that needs to feel beyond doubt that the world is real. A boy, 10 or 12, on a bike, some horses, a train. From the blue it comes back, and when I recall his crazy bravado describing what remained of the giants that once slipped apples from our palms, I'm surprised at my rage. Who'd put horses there? Who a railroad? Who a boy? 7. Such frenzy, all this fluster, no stillness at the root, always weeping, raging, driving backhoes, giving birth. You love illuminated books because they're crammed, like your little verse, with busyness. You want the world's shards on velvet, so you've built a reliquary out of words. Ah, peddler, you're no better than the friar, hawking pig knuckles as the bones of a saint. You want a form that will hold the river's water, so it glitters, miraculous as tears. First, smash the vial. First, swallow the shards.